Weather windows for planning progress have been a little hard to come by, and it seems as soon as one window opens, another closes. But taking advantage of narrow windows often leads to a little extra hustle, and that's great, as long as you remember the golden rule, safety first.
Live from Sparkle City, USA, via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. It's safety day in the first hour of AgriTalk, joining us with a story of when a bad situation gets worse, and even worse, and finally terrible, is Farm Journal's Chris Bennett. We'll talk with Janet Davidson from the Progressive Agriculture Foundation. And finally, Libby Castillo from the American Red Cross will extinguish your fire safety concerns. I'm your ordinary host, Chip Flory. And now, with an A-plus in safety after working his entire sixth grade year as a crossing guard, the extra handsome, extraordinary, special guest host, Davis Michaelson!
All right. Good morning, Chip.
Good morning, Davis.
How's everything on your end?
It is good. You know, it's a little cloudy. And I think the way that what happened is everybody took a look at this, at the planning progress from yesterday.
Yes.
Took a look at the weather forecast that is getting wetter, not drier. And we've got a boom going on in the markets.
We do have a boom going on in the markets. I mean, what do we got here? Corn up, 11, 10? Soybeans up 24 cents.
Yeah.
Even the wheat's up.
Yeah.
I got most contracts up around 9, 10 cents. What do you make of that?
Yeah, well, I think a lot of it has to do with the planting progress. Corn planting progress as of May 12, 2019, 30% done across the country compares to a five-year average of 66%. Some of the real laggers here, Illinois, 11% versus 82% for a five-year average. Indiana, 6% versus 57%. So that gets to what we've been talking about on the show a lot, Davis, the fact that early in the season, all the attention was on the Western Corn Belt.
Right.
The real problems were in the Eastern Corn Belt. Corn emerged 10% as of May 12th versus a five-year average of 29%. And get this, soybean planting progress, 9% as of May 12th. The five-year average is 29%. So I think that combined with the wet weather forecast that we've – the wet and getting wetter. Forecast is probably the reason for the gains.
Well, isn't it possible? I mean, can this actually be happening that maybe we're trading something besides Trump trade news?
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, what a concept.
Last week the question was, will we ever get around to trading weather again? Mark put a big X on the calendar on May 14th, 2019. It looks like we are back to trading weather.
Yep. Well, thanks for tuning into AgriTalk, everybody. We're flipping the script just a little bit. We call it a flip-chory style show. We're both here. Everything's fine, but we're focusing on something else today.
Yeah.
We'll get back to talking RFS and RIN trade. We'll get back to talking trade. And, of course, we've got lots of stuff in the news for you on that. In fact, why don't we go ahead and jump into that? Handsome news pal, Chip Flory.
That's me. All right. As trade talks with China continue to limp along, the Trump administration is putting together an aid package to help farmers who have endured financial strain as a direct result of the trade war. In 2018, roughly $12 billion in market facilitation payments were made to farmers. Previously, there was no plan to compensate farmers for 2019 financial woes, but with the latest round of increased tariffs from both sides, the president is working on a plan to purchase $15 billion in ag products. Now, industry watchers have been critical both of the 2018 MFP payments and of Trump's $15 billion plan, which would make purchases of U.S. ag products with the original intent of using the products for humanitarian purposes. That's just not going to happen.
Well, and what's interesting of this, you know, Trump is saying that he's going to take that money out of the billions and billions of dollars that he's collected from these tariffs. But as you said yesterday, you made a really good point that it's really not It's not like it's free money that's just fallen out of China's pockets. It's the American consumer that's providing that.
Yeah. Well, it's a consumption tax is what a tariff is. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. There is just no question about that. So
yeah. Yep.
The American taxpayer is paying for it one way or the other in this case, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So. Yeah, yeah. According to U.S. Census data, in 2018, the U.S. ag sector came in sixth on the list of U.S. industries absorbing losses. The transportation equipment, computers, and electronics topped that list of industries feeling damage from Trump's trade policies. All right. Yeah. The disaster aid bill remains a topic of discussion in Washington, and some believe the Senate could vote on the measure as early as next week. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell says he would like to see a Senate vote before the Memorial Day recess. Get this. Yeah. A California court has awarded just over $2 billion in the latest verdict against Bayer's Roundup weed killer. This marks the third consecutive trial that found for the plaintiffs against Bayer. The number of cases against the ag chemical giant continues to grow as confidence among Bayer's shareholders is waning. There's more than 11,000 cases pending here. Indeed. Finally, South Africa has reported that yesterday it discovered African swine fever in a fourth province. The South African Agriculture Ministry said impacted areas are under quarantine as the ministry conducts investigations to track the origin of the disease in that country.
ASF news, continues to spread. Thanks, Chip. I appreciate that. And with that, let's get to Mike Opperman, editor of Farm Journal's Milk. Good morning, Mike. How are you today?
Davis, how are you doing?
I'm doing just great. Thanks for spending a few moments with us. Now, we've talked about China trade stuff ad nauseum on this show, but
exactly.
We really haven't spent a whole lot of time, at least, about the potential impacts to the dairy industry nearly as much. I just love your thoughts on all that.
Well, you know, China is about the fourth largest customer for U.S. dairy products, so it does have an impact on exports. But a couple things with this. First, you know, the dairy industry has felt the impact since last, what was it, July, when the first tariffs went on. And according to the U.S. Dairy Export Council, exports to China have fallen off about 43%. So obviously that's significant and that's bad news. The good news is our export markets have picked up that slack in other areas. So total exports are up over on a year-over-year basis. It's just that exports to China have really been an anchor on what could be potential growth in the entire global market. So it does have an impact. Thankfully, we aren't like other commodities, like corn and soybean and so forth, where China is such a heavy buyer.
Right.
But we've been able to pick up some of that slack in other areas.
Real quickly, milk prices found a little support. Where'd that support come from lately?
Yeah, you know, cheese prices have been strong, so that's been great. Whey prices have been off a little bit, again, mostly due to China. But cheese prices have been great, which has boosted Class 3, Class 4 prices. So, it's been a positive market out there in the dairy industry.
Outstanding. Nice to hear a little good news attached with
That's
the dairy
right.
industry.
Yeah.
Mike Opperman, thanks from editor of Farm Journal's Milk. Thanks for taking the time with us this morning. We've got Chris Bennett coming up right away on our Flip Chory Safety Show. Stick around for agriculture.
Brought to you by Clarifly Larvicide, your feed-through fly control solution.
Get control of flies on your dairy operation with the first and proven leader in feed-through fly control, Clarifly Larvicide. Reducing fly populations by over 96%, Clarifly Larvicide controls four fly species and does not affect dung beetles. It comes in a uniform premix so you can trust Clarifly Larvicide is mixed right the first time. With Clarifly Larvicide, you get consistent control that saves you money by using only what you need. Learn more about the industry-leading Clarifly Larvicide at centralflycontrol.com.
We're joined today by Joan Ruskamp, past chairman of the Cattlemen's Beef Board, to talk about what your dollar does to promote demand for beef. Joan, what's new with the beef checkoff?
Thanks for having me on. According to our most recent producer survey, 80% of producers today say the checkoff drives demand for beef. So I'd like to share some of the ways we're doing that. One example is foreign marketing. We're exporting about $8 billion worth of beef overseas. That's huge, especially considering how we've opened up markets in Asia, creating value for producers around $320 per head slaughtered. Additionally, the checkoff has helped boost retail meat case sales to a six-year high, with strong demand expected to continue through 2019. We also launched a campaign to showcase real ways the checkoff is using producer dollars to drive demand. It's called Your Dollar Does. You can learn more and sign up for the newsletter at drivingdemandforbeef.com.
That's great, Joan. Thanks for joining us from the Cattlemen's Beef Board. To learn more, go to drivingdemandforbeef.com, funded by the Beef Checkoff.
Built over generations, the dairy is what gets you up in the morning and sometimes keeps you up at night. To say you're invested is an understatement. Merck Animal Health Brands have a 50-year history of providing the products dairy herds need to stay healthy. With innovation, passion, and integrity, we'll do what's right for your operation and for you. This is why Merck Animal Health works. Visit MAHcattle.com to see how Merck Animal Health can work for you.
Hey, AgriTalk listeners, this is Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady inviting you to get more insight on today's market movers with Pro Farmer. When you visit profarmer.com/radio, we'll give you 1 month of premium analysis and advice absolutely free. You'll get the perfect blend of the marketing and policy information you need for your farming operation without feeling overwhelmed. Plus, we'll text you when breaking market advice is issued so you never miss a marketing opportunity. Visit profarmer.com/radio today. That's profarmer.com/radio.
They're not the type to ask for help, the ones who beat the sun to their workday. But after floods erase generations of farmland, livestock, and crops, that resolve was shaken. It's time to show our farmers and ranchers that when waters rise, so do good people. Maybe they won't ask for help, but that doesn't mean we shouldn't answer. Donate to our farmers and ranchers at staystrongnebraska.com.
You're listening to AgriTalk, where the conversation begins. Join us at 855-4-TALK-AG. Welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. Your pal, Davis Michelson, here behind the leafy green microphone at Sparkle City Studios. I've got my pal, Chip Flory, right here with me. How you
hey,
doing?
Buddy. Yeah, I'm doing real well. Real well.
We flipped the show on its head today because we wanted to do something different.
Yes.
I don't... And Trump fatigue is a thing. It's a real thing.
Yes. Really? Yeah. Absolutely, it's a real thing.
So they say. So I've read. In light of that, we've decided that we're going to pull together and focus on safety. Yeah. Now's a good time to do that. Farm safety is something that is extremely important.
Well, go on. And you think about it. With the way that the planting season is being compressed,
yes,
everybody's going to be looking for a shortcut. Everybody's going to be looking for an end around. And all those lead to is bad things.
Yes, exactly right. My first guest this morning is Chris Bennett. Now, the word epic, Chip, is thrown around an awful lot these days. I get a lot of, dude, that was an epic newscast.
Yeah.
Dude, your hair is epic, you know?
Yeah.
And I
yeah.
usually sort of just wave that off as one of those words that
people use
too
much. Well, you got to quit listening to me. You got to quit listening to me.
And I appreciate it. Yeah. I do.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But Chris Bennett has set the bar high for the definition of epic in his article, Against All Odds, Farmer Survives Epic Ordeal. Now, let me warn, some of the details of this story might be a little graphic, so I'd advise discretion if there are young ones within earshot. Maybe just have a discussion with them afterwards. Let me just hit a quick passage from Chris Bennett's article. I'm the one that turned the corn picker on. I'm the one that stuck my hand in there. Maybe I thought I was invincible and that these things always happen to something else. Just a split second of thinking like that is when you can slip. Chris Bennett, Farm Journal Technology and Issues Editor, and fantastic writing you've done again on this article. Chris, welcome to AgriTalk. Thanks for being with us this morning.
Hi, Davis, Chip. It's a privilege to be on here with y'all. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Why don't you just... tell us a little bit, walk us through the tale of Samson Parker and how he wound up having such a very, very bad day one day.
Davis, Sampson Parker, you're not going to have to wind me up on this one. You'll have to rein me in. Look, no hyperbole, no exaggeration. You go into survival history, mm-hmm. and Sampson Parker's ordeal matches up with the most extreme bone-rattling tales. If you want an account that'll sober you up, make you ask questions about the cargo you're carrying, mm-hmm. Sampson Parker is your man. On yes. September 11th, I believe, 2007, it's a 90-degree day. It's a clear skies. He's got 50 acres of corn. Really, it's deer corn he's got to harvest.
Mm-hmm.
And he's using a one-row picker. Now, maybe for some of your younger listeners, let me try and paint the picture here. He's got a relatively small John Deere tractor out front. He's got a 1960s one-row picker in the middle, and he has a grain buggy on the back. So essentially, he has a little miniature caravan of sorts, and he's rolling through the rows, gets a flat tire. He gets out to check that tire, hooks up a pump, and as he does so, he goes around to the back of the picker because it hadn't been shedding properly, and all it's right. got a big buildup of shucks. There's a lot of trash in there, so he starts to clear that out, and pretty soon he's surrounded by a bed of those shucks.
Now, stand by for let me hop in quick, Chris, and
yes,
just to add just a little bit more, one of the things that complicated was his remote location. As I understand from the story, he didn't have a cell connectivity there where he was, and he was working out all alone in kind of a spot out in the middle of nowhere, correct?
Bingo, Davis. He's out there with no cell service. He doesn't have a cell phone on him anyway because he knows he doesn't have service. Mm-hmm. There's no one that's going to walk up. His family doesn't expect him back until the evening.
Right.
So he is truly a man on an island alone. Mm-hmm. And as he sees inside the picker that he's got a chunk of corn lodged in the rollers, and he does what no one should do, but I suspect he does what we've all done.
Mm-hmm.
And that is go for the shortcut. He reaches through a slanted 2-inch by 8-inch window to try and grab this chunk. And as he does, the machine sucks his hand in, traps his hand. Really, he sets it into a bear trap. And immediately, right, he describes immediately, chunks of flesh and meat literally rolled down his arm. The pain was, you know, indescribable. And from that point, it goes on to an hour and a half with his hand trapped into the machine.
While the machine's still running, right?
Yes, sir. The machine was on, entirely on. So mm-hmm. it's attempting to pull his whole arm in. He's fighting it. He was a big guy. He was roughly 6'3", 220. And it got so bad that he attempts to pull his whole hand off. So he braces his feet against the side of the picker. He pulls, but he can't get his hand out. Takes his belt off, takes his boots off, throws them over the top, hoping that he can clog up the cogs of the machinery. It doesn't work. He throws in dirt. He throws in rocks. He throws in everything he's got. And after an hour and a half, he finds himself seal trapped. He's laying there in the dirt, writhing in the dirt. There's nothing he can do. And according to Sampson Parker, he essentially meets God in the field. He begs mm-hmm. for mercy. And he says that there was divine intervention right then and there. He knew, Davis, he was going to get out.
Yeah. Yeah. Hmm. That's...
Let me throw this in there.
Yeah.
Something happened as he left Chip. Something happened when he was leaving the house that morning. He grabbed something that he normally doesn't grab.
Chip. In his pocket, right? In his pocket is exactly what you described. When he was getting his clothes on, walking out of his bedroom, there was a knife sitting on the dresser. It was a little tiny knife, 3-inch blade. He'd been given it by a John Deere rep at a NASCAR event several months earlier. He never carried a knife a day in his life. He never carried a knife since then. But on that day, he just told me, man, I don't know why. I put the thing in my pocket, and I walked away. So as he's trapped back there in this picker, he reaches around behind him and manages to grab a few of the pins in the hitch of the grain buggy. He pulls those out and starts to jab them on the left side of the picker box, trying to blindly get them into the chain. And that by itself was a little bit of a miracle because he eventually got one of those into one of the chains, and he got the whole machine to stop. It wasn't turned off, but the roller stopped revolving, And you thought at that point, all right, I'm going to have a chance to get my hand out, even though the machine was rocking. So once again, with his big body, he started pulling. And to his extreme dismay, the hand didn't move at all. In other words, though it was mangled, though it was shredded, it wasn't coming out. So he realized, all right, I'm going to reach in with his left hand. He reached into his pocket, right, because his right hand dominant, his right hand is trapped in the machine. With his left hand, he reached in, reached over the top of the picker box, and blindly decided, I'm going to cut away pieces of my hand until it comes out. So he cut off one finger, he cut off two, and he cut off three. You know, I'm describing it concisely, but y'all know full well that what the man had to do was essentially hack and saw to get his fingers to come off with a three-inch blade, even though it was factory sharp. And then Chris, after the third finger came off, a cent hit him in the nose, and he realized, man, the slip puff is throwing sparks. They caught the shucks on fire. The shucks caught the machine on fire. The machine caught the left picker tire on fire. He's now trapped and surrounded by conflagration.
Yep. Yep.
Unbelievable.
So, he has to do the unthinkable, and let's leave that part for readers who want to read the article. But you mentioned the divine intervention aspect here, and I don't want to take everybody to church, but there was a passerby. Mr. Parker finally makes it down to the highway looking for help. He's in his pickup truck. Cars just whizzing by him, not paying him any mind. But there was another guy who was like, wait a second, I'm just going to throw this in my Suburban today for whatever reason, and winds up that was the one person that was able to help him in his time of desperate need.
You're right on. You're right on, Davis. My Lord, this is a Sunday school lesson wrapped in flesh and flame.
The guy
found him had a medical bag, and he should not have had a medical bag. He should not have been there that day. Yep. None of the pieces should have fit the way that they did. You know, if you want to call it coincidence, then you can call it coincidence, but Samson Parker, he's not going down that road.
He refuses to use that word. And to put a cap on the story, he's fully recovered, right? He suffered fourth-degree burns in some parts of his body, third-degree burns. He did lose that right arm. But he's back on his feet.
Davis, it burned his leg so bad, it burned it clear to the bone in one spot. So he really got a lick of flames that were absolutely terrible. His wife, Leanne, stood by him. You can imagine his recovery is a story by itself. I'll just conclude and say, look, if you can read his account, if you can read his words, and it doesn't get your blood racing, then you probably dead or you need to be.
Yep. Chris Bennett, you are an absolutely gifted writer, a gifted descriptionist. Wild Pig Wars is your next one. We got a hop here, but check out Chris's work on agweb.com. And we're going to have more from you in just a moment here on AgriTalk with Janet Davidson. And we're going to have Brian Grady coming up right here talking about what's going on with these markets. Chris Bennett, thanks so much for being with us, brother.
Hey, it's a privilege. Thank y'all. Have a good day. Bye, man.
See you, Chris.
Come on back for more AgriTalk after these words. We're joined today by Joan Ruskamp, past chairman of the Cattlemen's Beef Board, to talk about what your dollar does to promote demand for beef. Joan, what's new with the beef checkoff?
Thanks for having me on. According to our most recent producer survey, 80% of producers today say the checkoff drives demand for beef. So I'd like to share some of the ways we're doing that. One example is foreign marketing. We're exporting about $8 billion worth of beef overseas. That's huge, especially considering how we've opened up markets in Asia, creating value for producers around $320 per head slaughtered. Additionally, the checkoff has helped boost retail meat case sales to a six-year high, with strong demand expected to continue through 2019. We also launched a campaign to showcase real ways the checkoff is using producer dollars to drive demand. It's called Your Dollar Does. You can learn more and sign up for the newsletter at drivingdemandforbeef.com.
That's great, Joan. Thanks for joining us from the Cattlemen's Beef Board. To learn more, go to drivingdemandforbeef.com, funded by the Beef Checkoff.
Time for Markets Now with the experts from Pro Farmer.
Joining us now is Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady. My gosh, Brian, what a day! What a difference a day makes, huh?
Extreme difference, Chip. And you know, it all started yesterday, especially in the corn and SRW wheat market. Key bullish reversals there yesterday. gap higher overnight, and here we go now this morning with very strong gains, double-digit gains in the corn market. Soybeans are pushing out above 30 cents for their gains right now, and double-digit gains in the winter wheat markets as well.
Yeah, this is really nice to see some of the... I shouldn't say that it's nice. It's better to see an 850 plus November bean price than a sub 850 is the bottom line.
Well, long overdue, because we've seen just this price bleed and day after day of price pressure, and really, you know, we haven't seen one of these types of days in quite some time. Now, we aren't to the finish line yet on today,
right.
So we want to see how it closes. Keep that in mind. But as we sit here mid-morning, this is a very strong recovery by bulls. Keep in mind the funds are heavily short, so we are probably getting a little bit of that excess short covering involved there, because they want to lighten up some on big up days like today. And, the planting progress pace, corn especially, at 30% done only as of Sunday, and that's a significant delay there.
Absolutely. Now, hogs limit down yesterday, taking advantage of the expanded limits today, more than $3 higher in the June.
Yeah, extreme volatility in that market as well. The cattle market is benefiting on spillover support today instead of spillover pressure like they did yesterday.
Yep.
Just commodity-wise.
Thanks, Brian.
Hi, I'm Ag Day host Clinton Griffiths, and I invite you to join me each morning as we cover the nation's food system, from fields of green to orchards of orange and livestock everywhere in between. America runs on agriculture, and here at Ag Day, agriculture's what we do best. Listen as our analysts track the markets, learn about innovations in technology and sustainability, and live the country lifestyle through the eyes of rural America. Join me, Clinton Griffiths, for Ag Day, the country experience.
I'm Andrew McRae, your host for Farming the Countryside. We're talking about issues, tips, and trends affecting rural and agricultural America.
Then it was the burden on the local office. Essentially, you just have Arc County right now, or PLC.
On each show, I talk with guests who provide the latest info on important topics and the challenges and successes on their own operations.
We had an open house and invited the entire community. It was a huge event. We had about 750 people show up.
The Farming the Countryside podcast is brought to you by Nutrien Ag Solutions, the world's largest provider of crop inputs and services.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors.
Your next piece of equipment is on MachineryPete.com. Search equipment from dealerships across the country to find what you're looking for, only on MachineryPete.com.
Welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. It's a Flip Jory safety spectacular today. Okay,
yes.
It's safe.
Hey.
It's safe to tune back in now.
Yeah,
it's okay.
Hey, real quick. Yeah. Just got this email in. It says, "Hi, Chep. I work at KWBG in Boone. Shout out KWBG. And we carry AgriTalk during the 10 a.m. hour. Today you had Chris Bennett on talking about farmer. Where would I find the written story? Thanks. Agweb.com.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Agweb.com. Go there for more reasons than one. And Chris has got another great story out there about the war on wild hogs.
Yep. Yep.
That I think it's fresh out there today. Another fantastic. Chris is such a good storyteller.
Absolutely one of the crown jewels of Farm Journal's stable of editors.
Unbelievable.
This guy, he can tell a story, and he can put it down with pen and paper too. And very interesting. And we're going to move on to some the lighter side of safety from here on out. But, you know, I think the message is there's no atheist when your hand's caught in a corn picker, Chip.
I think that's true, Davis.
It's kind of a takeaway from us.
Oh, my God. You know, that whole story, I was just waiting for the snake to show up to make my nightmare complete.
Yeah, yeah. and the point there, I think, is, hey, look, we've all done it. Yeah. I'll just clear it real quick.
Right.
Shut down the machine first. Shut it down first.
Shut it down. Shut it down. That is exactly right. No shortcuts, no end arounds.
Yep.
Safety
yep.
first.
Absolutely. All right, well. My next guest, Jana Davidson, an education content specialist with the Progressive Agriculture Foundation for 25 years.
Progressive Agriculture Safety Days has been on a mission to provide the education, training, and resources to make farm, ranch, and rural life safer and healthier for children and their communities. I'm excited to bring on our next guest. She's working to make safety concern a habit that starts with the young in an effort to create long-lasting habits that will ultimately improve the lives of future farmers. From the perspective Progressive Agriculture Foundation, Janet Davidson, welcome to AgriTalk. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Well, thank you for having me. It's great to be here.
Now, just start us off with kind of a basic overview. Progressive Ag Safety Days, what is it? What does it do? What's your involvement?
Okay, well, I actually got started in the program as being a Safety Day coordinator about 13 years ago right here in my local community. And I fell in love with the program, and I was honored about 5 years ago when I was able to join as staff. So to tell you real quickly how we got started, our program started officially in 1995, and we're getting ready to celebrate 25 years, or actually we are celebrating 25 wow. years this whole year of hosting these safety days. And we were started through the Progressive Farmer magazine, so hence Progressive in our name. Okay. And we were started because of some sobering articles that were telling stories about injuries and fatalities happening on farms, and many yeah. were involved involving children. And we were just tired of reading about it, and we wanted to finally do something. So we started these programs all over now North America, and they really start by teaching our young ones, ages 4 to 13, about good safety practices to adopt early
on. All right. Well, and I was looking on your website at some of the safety topics that you cover. You're talking about electricity safety, ATV safety, that's got to be a big one, firearms, tractors, even a PTO, that's power takeoff for those of you listening in on the East Coast. But is there a specific area that your organization has found to be particularly important to talk to these young country kids about?
Well, the unique thing about our program is that we're so diverse. We have over 400 safety days each year, but not one is the same. So you select topics that are near and dear to your community. So you mentioned ATV safety. You mentioned power takeoff. Maybe if that's not a key safety concern in that community, they'll focus on something different. So the community picks what makes the most sense to them in organizing their safety day. And as you can see by our topics, we have over 30 different safety topics.
Yes.
There are some specific to farming, but then there's a lot that are just specific to any child living in a rural community, like mm-hmm. your bike safety, water safety, sun safety, that every child's going to need to learn about.
And so what your organization does is take community volunteers. Say I volunteer and I want to be a part of the program. You would then give me the tools, the curriculum, the things that I need to do to set up a safety workshop for a specific safety issue in my local community, correct?
Absolutely. So you volunteer, you want to make a difference in your community, and you step up to be a coordinator. We train you, and we're here to guide you along the way. Like you mentioned, giving you that curriculum, giving you those resources. We have a whole planning manual, the 100 plus page planning manual that walks you through the steps of planning your event, from organizing a schedule, finding out who would make good presenters and good volunteers to help, to what you need to think about for food and snacks. So we give you all those resources, and then every child that attends your event, as well as every volunteer, gets a free t-shirt, gets a take-home bag, which you stuff with a bunch of resources from your local community, and they also get insurance coverage for the day. So we make it very easy to host your own event.
All right. Now, yeah. I did notice... Hey, yeah, go ahead, Chip.
Jan, I was just curious. Okay, you've got these young people that are at these safety meetings. How do you get them to take it seriously?
The biggest thing that we try to promote is not just lecturing to these children, but hands-on activities and demonstrations. So you can go up there and you can tell them, tell the children, you know, this is wrong, this is right. But when they actually take part in a hands-on activity and they're actually learning by doing, that really reinforces the message we're trying to get across. And then they're going to go home and they're going to tell mom and dad. They're going to tell grandma and grandpa, and they're going to hopefully tell their siblings and their neighbors and keep them safer. So we figure we we can break some of those bad habits that maybe us as adults, and we tend to still get away with, or mm-hmm. we don't change our ways. We want to change those for the young people so they make positive, smart decisions. And we've just had really good success on keeping it hands-on. And another thing that's successful is getting sometimes our teens involved, whether that's with our 4-H clubs, with the FFA chapters. If those teens can be our presenters, wow, mm-hmm. that really makes a difference because those kids really look up to those 4-H and FFA teens.
Yeah. Now, I don't know what, Chip, Jana, I don't know what it was like when you took driver's ed, but there was a certain component to my driver's training way back in the day when we would have somebody march in from the state patrol or the sheriff's office and show what can happen. And honestly, those pictures kind of freaked me out. How do you present these the consequences of not staying mindful without freaking these kids out?
It can be a challenge, and you have to really take into consideration that child's age, because like I mentioned, we teach everywhere from children as young as 4 years old up to 13. So you want to take into account your audience. And so some things that you might think are more appropriate to show maybe a 12 and 13-year-old is probably not as appropriate to show maybe that 4 to 7-year-old. So what we would do, a good example, you talked about driving. Maybe we want to hit the point home about what it's like to drive impaired. And another thing, maybe these kids aren't thinking about drinking and driving when they're younger, mm-hmm. but the texting and driving, those distractions mm-hmm. right now that we're seeing, we have them use these drunk buster goggles. You may have seen those where we actually put those on the children. We have them try to navigate through a course or do different activities, and they realize that how challenging it is. So that's a nice subtle way to teach them about that topic without showing maybe some scary over-the-top photos. But we have done things that really show them and hit home. Like we talked about the power takeoff. We do a PTO demonstration where we take a dummy that's in a Tyvek suit with straw, and we show how quickly you can get entangled in a PTO shaft. And that really opens up a lot of eyes.
Right. Now I notice internet safety is one of the topics that your program covers. What's the goal of your internet safety component?
The goal of the internet safety is to get kids to start to realize, I guess you could say, is not to give out information. You know, a lot of us, that's the biggest thing right now is the whole security, making sure you're not going to tell people that you're home alone, making sure you're not going to give out information about addresses, phone numbers, those type of things. That's really the point that we try to hit home. And also we tag in there in recent years a lot of the maybe some of the online bullying and things mm-hmm. that can go on there, and making sure that they can tell an adult and get help immediately, and what are the good resources to locate for that.
Right. Okay, well, we got to wrap it up here pretty quick, but what if I'm interested in the program? There aren't any events scheduled in my area. Are there other resources available? Where can we find out more information on your program?
Perfect. The best way is to visit our website. It's progressiveag.org, short for agriculture. Okay. And if you go on there, you can apply to host the safety day. So like you said, there's nothing in your community and you want to bring something to your community, you can apply to host the safety day in 2020. Otherwise, on the website, you're going to see a link that says 2019 safety days. If you click on that, there is a full listing of over 400 safety days by location, including the town and the state, and then who the coordinator is. So you can reach out if you wanted to visit a safety day. You can reach directly out to that coordinator.
Outstanding. Well, Jana Davidson, education content specialist with the Progressive Agriculture Foundation. Thanks so much for spending some time with us, for sharing what you guys are up to. It sounds like a great program that you've got working, and we need more of what you've got going on. So thanks for being with us this morning.
Well, thank you for having us. And just a reminder, too, of this time of year when we're getting into spring planting, I think most farms are safe places, but we tend to lose our safety focus, so we want to keep that a priority.
That's why we're doing this today, Jana. That's right. Absolutely. Double down on the safety.
Yeah, thank you.
Jana Davidson, thank you so much. Okay, well, there you go, Chip. A little, you know, a low-impact segment there, but very, very important issues. We're going to round it out with Libby Castillo from the American Red Cross talking fire safety. This is AgriTalk on a Flip Chory Tuesday. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Find it now at shopfarmjournal.com. Brand new to the shop is the best of tractor tales, as seen each week on U.S. Farm Report. This two DVD set features dozens of classic machines and the collectors who bring them back to life. You'll get one DVD that's all green, the best of John Deere. The second DVD includes classics like Alice Chalmers and many more. Buy one DVD for $29.95 or buy the set for $49.95. Order today at shopfarmjournal.com or call toll-free 877-847-9599. You can find it now at shopfarmjournal.com.
They're not the type to ask for help, the ones who beat the sun to their workday. But after floods erased generations of farmland, livestock, and crops, that resolve was shaken. It's time to show our farmers and ranchers that when waters rise, so do good people. Maybe they won't ask for help, but that doesn't mean we shouldn't answer. Donate to our farmers and ranchers at staystrongnebraska.com.
The premier Farm Journal Hemp College is coming to Lexington, Kentucky on June 19th. This one-day farmer-focused event will get you on the right production path with information on the best agronomic practices for hemp production, marketing, legal considerations, and policy news. Interact with growers and industry experts to gather answers to all your questions. Register for Farm Journal Hemp College at regonline.com/hempcollege.
Hey, Jim, how would you describe our D.C. Signal to Noise podcast?
It's a dairy parlor analysis of the D.C. politics that impact America's farmers and ranchers.
Dairy parlor analysis? What do you mean?
No bull.
Download the D.C. Signal to Noise podcast with Jim Wiesmeyer and me, John Harith, every Friday on agweb.com, the AgriTalk app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Central Life Sciences reminds you to get control of flies on your swine operation with Clarifly Larvicide and Starbar products. Clarifly Larvicide prevents the emergence of nuisance flies from animal manure by as much as 96%, and Starbar features a lineup of baits, traps, and sprays that tackle your fly problem. Flies spread disease, impact your neighbors, and interfere with swine weight gain. Visit centralflycontrol.com. That's three words, centralflycontrol.com.
Oh, hey, bro. I'm an off-brand tractor filter. You know, the one they're practically giving away at the farm store. So a lot of people choose me to filter their precious oil, fuel, or air, but I don't work as hard as your tractor's OEM filter. I am under-engineered and made from cheaper components, so dust and contaminants, they're your problem, brah.
Off-brand filters are not John Deere filters. OEM filters are engineered for maximum performance in your John Deere machine. Don't risk it with anything less.
It's time to give back to your roots and make this your best growing season with Radiate. Radiate's patented formulation of plant growth regulators help develop longer, stronger, healthier roots to improve nutrient uptake. And now, when you give back to your roots, you give back to FFA. Nutrient Ag Solutions and Radiate are proud to support national FFA alumni and supporters chapter grant programs across the country. Ask your Nutrient Ag Solutions crop consultant about Radiate or go online to radiateroots.com for more details. Always read and follow label directions. Check registration in your state.
Powerful. Effective.
Proven. Tough. Proven. Consistent. Tough.
Reliable. A lot of adjectives can describe a herbicide's weed control, but one only applies to Liberty Herbicide. Superior. Liberty Herbicide has no known resistance in row crops, more convenient application flexibility, and excellent control of key weeds. All backed by the Liberty Weed Control Guarantee. Learn more at liberty.basf.com. Grow smart with BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
Picture yourself driving the tractor of your dreams, creeping up and down the rolling hills, enjoying an incredible sunset, and feeling satisfied that you are able to finally find your dream tractor at a reasonable price. Visit MachineryPete.com for the best selection of used tractors, skid steers, mowers, and more. We've revolutionized searching for equipment online. Find exactly what you're looking for quickly and easily. Your next piece of equipment is only a click away on MachineryPete.com. Visit MachineryPete.com now.
Every season, you try to raise the bar to achieve your best soybean yield ever. But frog eye leaf spot, brown spot, aerial blight, and white mold can get in your way. New Dilaro fungicide will help you fight them. Dilaro delivers unmatched preventative and curative defense against yield-robbing diseases, so your varieties will have the protection they need to help you achieve personal best yields. Keep raising the bar with Dilaro from Bayer. Always read and follow label instructions.
In the morning, you're coffeeed up and you're thinking. In the afternoon, you've calmed down, but you're still thinking. We're here all day. AgriTalk.
All day, Davis. All day.
All day long.
All day long. I'm still on the coffee. I haven't made my way over to the Mountain Dew yet.
Oh, well, good. Good. You know, you got to mix it up throughout the day, I guess. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. Davis Michelson, your pal, behind the big microphone. I've got Chip Flory with me, though. We're just mixing it up a little bit today. It's a safety day.
Yes.
And we've walked you through, okay, we started with a worst-case scenario. Then we moved on to training our kids, and I think that's one of the most important things.
Get it started early.
Get them started early. Get those habits started early.
Right.
And hopefully you can avoid your children being injured and, you know, maybe even as Janice said, it kind of ripples through the rest of the family. As these kids come home with this information, these fresh ideas, they can spread to, you know, hey, maybe dad's out doing something that's a little bit unsafe. And sure, it's gonna annoy you. I know. I'm the same way with my kids. But when they stand there and say, hey, dad, let's shut down the PTO first. Just take a second and shut her down.
Yes.
I think is one of the great benefits. Moving on, we've got Libby Castillo from the American Red Cross. Now, she comes to us fresh off a two-week special event that relates to some vital home safety issues. Libby Castillo, welcome to AgriTalk. Thanks for joining us this morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Now, we're talking about the American Red Cross sound the alarm against home fires to keep us and our neighbors safe. Can you tell me a little bit about the program? Tell me why Red Cross is so darn focused on home fire safety.
Great, absolutely. Thank you so much. So, you know, a lot of people recognize the Red Cross as responders after a disaster. Typically, when you see the Red Cross in your neighborhood, you're either really grateful that they're there or you're thinking, okay, something pretty bad must be happening because the Red Cross is here. So, what we do is, you know, we typically respond to disasters, but I want everybody to know that we also help people prepare for disasters as well. This is an initiative that we take very, very seriously. And the event that you're speaking about is our Sound the Alarm, Save a Life. It's part of our home fire campaign. And like you said, we just came off of a two-week role of this event where we went into homes across the country to install free smoke alarms. It's a pretty impressive thing. So what we did is we, you know, use the power of volunteers like we always do and sent them out into communities in need to install these smoke alarms. And they're not only installing smoke alarms. What we also do is we send a person with them to speak with the family about this safety information in when it comes to home fires. So what we do is we create an escape plan for the family. So we'll sit there and we'll talk to the family. And you all were just talking about the importance of educating children.
Yes.
Yeah. What we love to do is we have a kind of grid that you can do the layout, like a blueprint of your home, and talk about the room that you reside in or that you sleep in and how to escape your home in the event of a home fire. Now, I don't know if you or your listeners know this, but the average time that you have to get out of a home in the event of a home fire is only 2 minutes.
Wow.
I'll just let that sink in. That's not a lot of time.
Right.
Right. And so, you know, it's really important to let that sink in for a second because 2 minutes flies by. I mean, if you're in the event of a home fire, you're panicked, you're trying to think of getting your family out safely, your pets, and where to go. So what we also do is we talk about the practicing that fire drill in your home.
Okay.
Yeah. And well, you know, you said about kids. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, no, well, you recently released a home fire safety survey. 96% of people engage in activities that are among the leading cause of home fires. We're running short on time, but can you just bullet point a couple of those fire safety issues?
Right. A lot of it goes down to food. It's one of my favorite things to do is to cook and to eat.
Sure.
So you're going to want to make sure that when you're cooking, and this is something I know I've been guilty of, but I'm a lot more conscious about it. Now is leaving the food cooking and stepping away. Do not do that. I mean, these things can happen in a split second.
Sure.
Keep the children away. Keep the pets away. My dog is always by my side when I'm cooking. So I have to kind of keep her away from me because that can be dangerous.
Sure.
Whenever you have your pot sticking out on the side of the stove, just turn them in.
Okay.
You know, keep them away from the edges so that nobody can snag them and spill anything. And that'll help reduce the risk of burns by the food.
Sure.
And then, you know, be conscious when you're cooking. I know things go fast, and if you've got children in the home, you know, you can get distracted when you put that dish towel down.
Yep.
Make sure you just put it away from the flame because that can just ignite so quickly. You've probably got food particles and grease on that rag. So mm-hmm. just make sure it's far away from that stove.
If listeners want to get involved, maybe with a financial contribution, or they want to volunteer for events in their communities, where can they get in touch with you good folks at?
The best place to find us is redcross.org. Yeah.
Okay. Well, Libby Castillo from the American Red Cross, thank you so much for sharing some of these ideas with us. Fire safety is a huge concern, and it's something that can affect all of us, right?
Absolutely. Disasters have no sense of anything. They don't know color. They don't know race. They affect everybody, unfortunately. But we're here to help.
Outstanding. Libby Castillo, American Red Cross, thanks for joining us this morning on AgriTalk. Have a great day.
Thank you. You do the same.
All right. Well,
2 minutes.
There you go, Chip.
Yeah, 2 minutes to get out of a house on average.
Yeah. Yep.
I don't know if I could figure out what was going on in 2 minutes. If you wake up you wake up in the middle of the night, the place is full of smoke, you have no idea what's going on.
That's right.
Oh, crazy.
You got to be ready to move. And hey, why not, in light of that conversation, just run around the house real quick, check your smoke detectors. It might be time to change a few batteries here and there. Maybe even get a whole new smoke detector. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's where the kids
can come in handy, because if you get them involved in testing, I know this from experience, they will make sure that you are testing them at least once a month so that they can practice their fire drill and everything.
All right. Well, we're wrapping it up today. Thanks to Chris Bennett. Find his article, Against All Odds, Farmer Survives Epic Ordeal, on agweb.com. Thank you to Janet Davidson from the Progressive Ag Foundation and, of course, Libby Castillo, American Red Cross. This afternoon, we've got a new voice on AgriTalk, Adam Platter from Ottawa. And tomorrow morning, it's a Farmer Forum. For Chip Flory, Ashley D. in South Bend, it's Davis Michelson on a Flip Chory Safety Day. Safety first, everyone. We're joined today by Joan Ruskamp, past chairman of the Cattlemen's Beef Board, to talk about what your dollar does to promote demand for beef. Joan, what's new with the beef checkoff?
Thanks for having me on. According to our most recent producer survey, 80% of producers today say the checkoff drives demand for beef. So I'd like to share some of the ways we're doing that. One example is foreign marketing. We're exporting about $8 billion worth of beef overseas. That's huge, especially considering how we've opened up markets in Asia, creating value for producers around $320 per head slaughtered. Additionally, the checkoff has helped boost retail meat case sales to a 6-year high, with strong demand expected to continue through 2019. We also launched a campaign to showcase real ways the checkoff is using producer dollars to drive demand. It's called Your Dollar Does. You can learn more and sign up for the newsletter at drivingdemandforbeef.com.
That's great, Joan. Thanks for joining us from the Cattlemen's Beef Board. To learn more, go to drivingdemandforbeef.com, funded by the Beef Checkoff.